Translation by Srila Prabhupada. One who knows that material happiness, whether good or bad, in this life or in the next, on this planet or on the heavenly planets, is temporary and useless, and that an intelligent person should not try to enjoy or even think of such things, is the knower of the self. Such a self-realized person knows quite well that material happiness is the very cause of continued material existence, forgetfulness of one's own constitutional position. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The living entity is a spirit soul, and the material body is his encagement. This is the beginning of spiritual understanding. Dihino smenyata dehe komram yovanam jara tata dehantara paptir dhirastatra namuyate. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. Bhagavad Gita 2.13. The real mission of human life is to get free from the encagement in the material body. Therefore, Krishna descends to teach the conditioned souls about spiritual realization and how to become free from material bondage. Yad yad hi dharmasya galani bhavati bharata. The word dharmasya galani means pollution of one's existence. Our existence is now polluted, and it must be purified, satvam sudayet. The human life is meant for this purification, not for thinking of happiness in terms of external body, which is the cause of material bondage. Therefore, in this verse, Maharaj Yayati advises that whatever material happiness we see and whatever is promised for enjoyment is merely flickering and temporary. Abrahma Bhuvala Loka Punya Anvrito Rajan. Even if one is promoted to Brahma Lok, if one is not freed from material bondage, one must return to this planet, Earth, and continue in the miserable condition of material existence. Bhutva Bhutva Pralayate. One should always keep this understanding in mind so as not to be allured by any kind of sense enjoyment, in this life or in the next. One who is fully aware of this truth is self-realized, sa atmadrik. But aside from him, everyone suffers in the cycle of birth and death, mityu samsara vatmani. This understanding is one of true intelligence, and anything contrary to this is but a cause of unhappiness. Krishna bhakta niskam ateva santa. Only a Krishna conscious person who knows the aim and object of life is peaceful, and others, whether karmis, gyanis or yogis, are restless and cannot enjoy real peace. Mancha kalpa trubis cha kripa sindhu eva cha patitunam bhavne bhyo vaishnave bhyo namo namah. So, somehow I've been asked to give class today. Just ask for your blessings that I can speak something truthful and beneficial for the pleasing of Srila Prabhupada and devotees. So, this particular verse, King Yayati has been in the previous chapter enjoying with women, and he's at this stage coming to his senses. He's starting to realize that sense gratification is the cause of suffering, so he's become satiated by trying to enjoy separately from the Lord. So he's starting to feel that it's time for him to purify his existence. He can't carry on enjoying. So he's giving this, he's coming to this realization that actually he's saying that one who knows material life, good or bad, in this life or the next life, you know, on the planets, on this planet or the heavenly planets, is temporary and useless. He's actually coming to that realization. So many times you see that as one is making their sojourn through the material world, they start to realize that material life is useless. That's a waste of time. That it's creating suffering for me. So usually it comes through the hard knocks of this material world. People start to feel disappointed and frustrated with endeavors to find happiness. So, but still, people, even devotees whilst they're practicing, they're still subtly trying to enjoy the chewed, depending on their level of consciousness. They keep chewing the chewed, maybe not in its gross form, but in its subtle form. So this verse is a verse that is focusing one's consciousness that any sense gratification is going to cause unhappiness and perpetuate your suffering in this material world. So for most of us at some point we thought, you know, I just got to get out of here. This place is creating so much suffering for me. And then we came across the devotees, the Maha Mantra, we started chanting. I feel, wow, this is it. Now I'm going to surrender. Yeah. Full surrender. You know, so we get a very high taste when we join, and very, very enthusiastic, and we struggle at the same time. Then after some period of time, sometimes that determination dwindles. So verses like this, they're to reset our consciousness to understand that, yes, how can I be happy trying to enjoy? In this particular verse, he's starting with this sloka, Dehina Smin, you know, that as the embodied soul continuously passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. And a sober person, someone who's sober, is not bewildered by such change. So, the living entity is a spirit soul. Each is, his body is changing at every moment. We hear this, you know, when we join. This is ABC, you know. But the actual soul itself, it doesn't go and undergo any change. You know? The body's changing. Many times you say to people when they first join, every 7 years all the cells in your body are changing. So 7, 14, 21. I don't think anyone's older than 21 here, are they? So their bodies are so. So 7, 14, 21, 3 body changes, you know. You can get to 70, 10 body changes. But you still think, you know, yeah, I'm back to Reuben, you know. But so we know that somehow that we're something separate from our body. We have a feeling for that. And at the point of death, the individual soul finally changes and he takes another body, transmigration of the body. So why is there no cause for lamentation? So in that particular purport on Dehina Smin, as Prabhupada nicely explains, he says, because the individual soul is sure to have another body in his next birth, which is either material or spiritual. So there's no cause for lamentation. You're not going to die forever. The soul remains. And the example is given that in the case of Arjuna, he's feeling anxious because he's lamenting about what happens. I'm going to kill Bhishma, I'm going to kill Drona. Bhishma's my grandfather, you know, Drona's my military teacher, I've got all respect for them. He's concerned, but Srila Prabhupada nicely explains, we're attached to our family, our friends, the society we live in, so how's it all going to run with that if I have to stand up for being Krishna conscious, you know? So Shiva explains, Arjuna should rejoice for their changing bodies from old to new ones because the body gets rejuvenated, we get some more energy to do something. So an important point is that the body changes, but on account of how much, on account of what we do in this life, will determine how much enjoyment and suffering is allotted to us in our future life. So, pious person, I have to do this, I can't see you all actually. Pious persons, they perform worship of the Lord, but it's a business arrangement. They're doing it because they want something in return. Give me my daily bread is in some traditions it's discussed. So someone's worshipping the Lord because they want something in return. But still they're following the Lord's rules. So at least they're acknowledging someone superior than themselves. So that's pious activity. But you get your return for that, for being a good person. But it's like a businessman. He goes to lunch. He dines his client. Feeds them nicely, speaks nicely with them, and then at the end of the meal, he pulls out the contract and says, you don't mind signing this, do you? You know, this is what I was actually wanting. So the person that's been dined and wined in the case of karmis, or orange juiced in the case of devotees, so he feels obliged, you know. So, but if a person is looking for real, genuine friendship in this world, he doesn't actually feel comfortable with this type of dealing. He just like that someone's just kind to him because they like them. So, then we look at what causes suffering. What causes suffering? Okay. Bullying, manipulation, extortion. So, getting something by force, you may get it, and you may feel happy that you've got it, but there's a sinful reaction coming, suffering coming for it. Those things eventually will be taken away from you tenfold or even more. So, pious and impious, and that's impious activity, they both, in some ways or another, they lead to suffering because you've taken something not with a genuine motive from your heart. So, Srila Prabhupada says, excuse the analogy, he said, a hole in the ground or a golden toilet. He said, both are places for passing stool. So, it's to make us conscious that these things are not going to give us real pleasure. And we see that, like, even someone has amassed tons and tons of wealth inside their suffering. We had the late Princess Diana, loved by the whole nation. She has access to so much wealth, a very wealthy husband, you know. All wives want a nice wealthy husband, feel secure and all that, you know. But still she was unhappy inside. So, and many people, you'll see that, rock stars, tons of money, enjoying women and drugs, or rock starettes, or whatever you call them, devas, I think the word is they use nowadays. Yeah? So, all the men are at their feet, but suddenly you hear in the headlines, and drug overdose, suicide. Why is that? Because the soul's nature is to serve the Lord with love. So we see here that let's go further into this. That's so if someone in a relationship just serves someone, just imagine like me and Govinda are friends, you know. Sometimes we are, sometimes we're not, you know. So, and I'm serving him with no other motive, just but to please him. At first, he might get a bit suspicious of me, you know, gonna steal his Mahaprasad or something. Can I have something more? But after some time, if I behave in a very fair and honest way with him, he'll start to trust me and reveal his personality to me. So in the same way, if we transfer that to serving the Lord with no other motive but to please him, he will reveal himself to us. He will give us inner satisfaction of our heart. So if someone tries to develop a mood of selfless service, they become satisfied. Here it's talking about going to the heavenly planets and enjoying, because you're looking for satisfaction. But by worshipping the demigods, or trying to give charity, but because you want something in return, business. But business doesn't satisfy the heart of a living entity. It makes someone want more and more and more. And the businessman, he makes his first million. You think, that's it, why didn't he stop? He can just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But no, I have to make the second million now. You know, because this material world is running on the impetus of sex life. So, in a materialistic world, the man is working very hard to accrue big car, big house, wealth, and he knows that ladies, they like these things. They like opulence. We're talking about materialistic ladies, not devotional, persons that are devotional. They're looking for a good devotee husband. So what's happening is then he's accruing all these things so that he can enjoy with the opposite sex. So his prestige, everything that he's doing, is so that he can enjoy. But that enjoyment is leading to more and more suffering from his side, from the other side. No one's happy. It's a business arrangement. But what this verse is talking about is actually giving this up and simplifying your life. It's talking about someone coming to the stage of vanaprast, and they've started to narrate to their dear wife that, you know, I think that it's time that we call it a day for all these things, you know, that we stop, you know. That can happen in two ways, that the husband and wife will go to the forest, the previous reports, the forest of Vrindavan, or means they'll become disentangled from the materialistic way of life, that they will start to simplify their life. All of the social arrangements which are being made not because of wanting to become Krishna conscious. Social arrangements can be made in their good form to glorify Krishna together. That's the purpose of Grihastha Ashram, that devotees come together. It's actually, the problem is if someone in Grihastha Ashram is trying to enjoy separately from Krishna, his attachment is building up. Yeah? He's making friends for a social network, for economical development, or so-called friends to have sense enjoyment with. But the devotees, he's looking for association with devotees that are trying to glorify Krishna, to serve Krishna, to propagate his message. The grahasthas, they should be looking for that type of association. Then, in that association, they can be happy. Let's go out on Harinam together. Let's distribute some books together. Let's read Bhagavad Gita together. I was thinking, we'll invite this sadhu, this very nice renunciate, to come and speak in our house, and we could feed the devotees. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's describing that that we should be thinking of our home not as we're just the caretaker of our house. It's Krishna's house, and our wife and children, our husband, they're Krishna's property. So I should deal with them in a way that would be pleasing to Krishna. I should look after them in a way that Guru and Krishna would be happy with me. If someone does like that, then there's a chance when they get to 50 or around that age, Some start late, you know, so they end a bit late. But there's a chance of them becoming detached from material life and attracted to Krishna. Because the focus should be that they're performing I've written some points, but I can't read because like the focus should be that that we're practicing our sadhana, the nine processes of bhakti, in particular the five main processes, associating with devotees, chanting the holy name of the Lord, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, residing at Mathura or to the holy dharms, or coming to Bhaktivedanta Manor, worshipping the deity with faith and veneration. So these, we should be focusing, trying to absorb ourselves in these five main processes of bhakti. By doing that, it says very quickly the heart will get purified. And in particular, of all of them, constantly chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In this age of Kali Yuga, it says, there's no other way, but the chanting of this holy name. Do we really believe it? Or are we putting our energies in other things? Usually it's a mixture. But the message of Bhagavatam, the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that in every town and village, one should chant the holy names and hear the glories of Krishna. Why? Because that will free us from this enjoying propensity. It will satisfy the heart. So if a grihastha is to absorb themselves, particularly in all 64 items or the nine processes of bhakti, or particularly these five very potent items of bhakti that are recommended by Rupa Goswami, and perform, and then this goes forward, and perform your vana ashram duties, because the impetus of this verse is for everyone. Actually, a brahmachari looks at this verse and he thinks, wow, I don't want to get entangled in this family life. You should be thinking like that. Wow, you know, see this Devyani, you know, she made her friend into her maidservant, you know. So like, what kind of life is this? That maybe I should be careful how I deal with women, so on. But it says that a good brahmachari will make a good grihastha if he wants to get married. So in both ashrams there has to be respect between Jaishri Shri Radha Gokulananda, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Shri Gornitai. So in both ashrams there has to be respect between the opposite sexes, otherwise what will happen? There'll be degradation in a society. So for men, apart from your own wife, women is to be treated like mother. So she should be actually respected very carefully, not to mingle too closely or too informally. At the same time, not to be looked upon with disdain. Women should be given protection in society. But the point is, how will someone, if they don't take these principles very seriously in their life, how when they come to the age of 50 will they become detached? So it starts all ashrams by following their duties very nicely, in connection with Krishna at the same time. So grihastha, real compassion means that real love in a family means that there's husband and wife and children. So the husband and wife, they're trying to help each other remember Krishna, and they're teaching their children how to remember Krishna, so that when the children grow up, they won't become despondent and disillusioned with life. They'll think, yes, my life is for Krishna's service. My life is to help others understand about Krishna. So children will become always joyful, whether they're a multimillionaire or they're a simple street sweeper. It doesn't really matter. As long as you remember Krishna, and each one of us will be inspired by Krishna in different ways, how to serve him. So real love means that husband life they'll help each other get out of the material world and go back home to the spiritual world. So this system of Varnashram is to encourage this process of gradually giving up material sense gratification. Let's have a look at some other points. So then going back to the point of actually not lamenting for the body, going back to it, that we see that the individual spirit soul is sure to get another body in the next life. It's either material or spiritual. And in the case of Bhishma and Drona, that because they're dutiful and they're noble persons, Srila Prabhupada describes, that he explains that what will happen to them is that in the case of, because they're noble, either they'll go back to the spiritual world because they have love for God, or at worst, it says they'll enjoy in the heavenly planets, they'll get facility. So you can see that, of course, this class is not about any fruitive activity, but the point is that being dharmic leads to a prosperous life, but if you serve Krishna with no other motive but to please him, but you cultivate that mood, then there's no need to come back. Then by the time someone gets to 50, they'll start to feel inside their heart they should have attracted an attachment for chanting and hearing the glories of Krishna. That's one of the verses earlier is describing how he's getting realized that being envious, because the root cause of envy is wanting to enjoy. So we see that friends, family, my wife said this, your husband said that. This is all craziness, you know, of the material world, you know. This we're meant to be getting a higher taste. We're meant to be becoming detached from these things. Brahmacharis, you distributed more books than me, you took my area, whatever, you know. Just balance it up, you know. So in whatever situation, we're actually trying to come to the stage where we're detached and our mind is focused on serving Krishna. Let's see what else we will talk about. So I just mention some other points as we go along. So here we're seeing that the idea of what is real intelligence is saying, so who is self-realized, who suffers, and who is truly intelligent is being discussed in this world. So it goes, one who is fully aware of this truth that enjoying separately from Krishna is a flickering and temporary, he's self-realized. And aside from him, everyone suffers in the cycle of birth and death. So our endeavor is to get out of this suffering. So I just was looking at some of the references Prabhupada was giving to this verse. I just wanted to read a few things that I found that were inspiring whilst I was preparing. So, and he's saying that one's truly intelligent, he can understand this very, very clearly, and he keeps it in mind all the time, that sense gratification causes me suffering. So I had a practical experience of this. I was just recently, about a couple of months ago, I was in Vrindavan, and I was praying because I have a tendency to overeat. So I was reading, it says if you confess your sins, maybe the Vaishnavas will bless you and you can change. So please bless me, you know. So much you can give me a bit less, even though I'm asking for more. So I was praying to Lord Nityananda, because it says in, when I'm reading CC, that Mahaprabhu is very happy if we dress simply and we eat simply. So dressing simply is not such a problem for me. I'm scruffy by nature, but you know, eating simply is like austerity, you know. So as a kid, it's always given like mangoes and all sorts. My dad was very kind to me, you know. So maybe from some previous karma, that was good that could always enjoy my tongue. You know? But you can see that, again, that enjoyment is creating suffering. So you see, in this particular case, I was I was in Vrindavan, and somehow gone with one of my friends who was a young Gurukuli, who's kind of moved on now. So we went to Varshana, you know, so we're praying to Radharani for her mercy. Then we're coming down, and it's like nearly 38 or 40 degrees, it's midday. And so he looks at a lassie place and he gets some lassie. I said, no, it's outside, I won't take that, I'm going to suffer, you know. It's hot. So I think, wow, it'd be nice to have that lassie, I see, in my mind, you know. Unlike this verse where it's saying you won't even think about but I know that you have to be careful in India because if the water's clean, whatever. But I managed to stay away from the lassie at least. So then we were going down, it's hot and I'm thirsty, I didn't have a bottle of water with me. And then we went past a sugarcane stand, and this guy's he's making a sugarcane. I was thinking, wow, sugarcane looks really, really nice. Yeah? And my principle for me is I never take sugarcane except for inside the Maipur compound because, you know, water and stuff. But today, I somehow forgot that. You know how it is? You somehow forget, you know, how your vow of how you're going to control your senses when you're attached to something. So that experience came upon me. So I looked at the sugar cane and said, yeah, that sugar cane juice looks all right to my friend. You know, looking for his approval, because I know it doesn't really look all right, but if he said yes, you know, that would be it, you know. He goes, yeah, it looks good to me. So should we have some? I said, yeah. So I took the sugar cane juice. You know, I said, that was really nice. It was all right, wasn't it? He goes, yeah, it's all right. Come home. Next morning, I'm sitting in Prabhupada's quarters chanting. Suddenly, I'm feeling like I've got so much pain in my stomach. I'm thinking, no, I just get my rounds done and I can go to sleep, you know? At least I got my rounds up for the day. So I was trying to chant, but I was feeling so ill that I was feeling, oh. Stomach was all wonky. I just went back to my room, and things. I thought, you know, it's just like a little bit of food poisoning, you know. Yeah, so. But then what had happened? I was getting high temperature, starting to feel shaky. So my wife's a bit worried, you know. Said, so, you better call a doctor. So I start explaining the symptoms of pains in my stomach. He says, yeah, I think you immediately should go to the hospital. I mean, Vrindavan, is like, which hospital I'm going to go to? And you need to go on a drip. And I was thinking, I don't want to go on a drip, you know. Just take a bit of medicine, you know, be right, you know. Again, not following good advice, you know. I said, do I really need to go there? He goes, well, you can take these antibiotics and because in India you can get antibiotics without prescription, you know. He's got Guptas across the road, you know. So I went to take the antibiotics, but. What was happening? Somehow the antibiotic I took was 85% strain resistant. Yeah, and my wife was telling me, you know, she was saying, it's good counsel. I think we should go down to Delhi and go and see a proper doctor. I was thinking, nah, I'm going to stay in Vrindavan, I'll get more benefit here, you know. So but sure enough, he said, you've got to take it for 14 days, you know, this antibiotic. So antibiotic for 14 days. I was getting worse and worse each day. Over 100 fever every day. So I found the doctor. I said, you know, this medicine's not working, you know. He says, you better go to Delhi to see a doctor. I was thinking, oh, okay. So again, rushed down into Delhi. So in India, the health system is private unless you go to a very simple hospital. And by now, I was worried that, you know, maybe I'm going to lose my life. You know, it's high temperatures every night, and I'm kind of shaking and in the night and sweating. And it's outside; it's boiling hot, but I'm feeling freezing cold. So I get to the doctors, and I'd phoned up, and they said, "Yeah, you'll only need to be here for 2 days." So I was thinking, only for 2 days? That's not bad. So he went in, he goes, I got the prescription, he says, you may need to be here for like 3 or 4 days. I said, okay, because they put a drip in, because I was like really weak by then. 2 sets of antibiotics going into my intravenously, and I was thinking, I just had a little sugarcane juice, you know, but Like Krishna is showing you, know, you enjoy your senses in the wrong way, you can suffer, you know, very, very badly. You know? So I'm there in the hospital, and then I'm seeing that, then we can see this verse. This verse is about the karmi mentality of enjoying. So the doctor now, he's seeing, oh, this, he's from the West. Okay, this test, this test, this test. Started giving me a whole string of tests, you know, about things and telling me that I could, this thing could have, I had also a lump in my neck. He said, that could be tuberculosis starting. We have to give you a CT scan. That's 20,000 rupees. I didn't take insurance as well. Depend on Krishna. Anyway. So we could see, I could see, like, I was lying there suffering with this heavy temperature. I think I got to get out of this place. This doctor's going to kill me. You know, I started to realize that he's not interested in me. He's just, he's getting a, like, you know, he's seeing that me and my missus from the West. You know, and he's thinking, okay. So I started to see, wow, he's meant to be a doctor. He's meant to be taking care of me. But he's really taking care of his wallet, you know. I said to him, well, I've got to get out of this hospital. And she said, no, Prabhu, you know, no, you're going to die, you stay here, you know. I said, but if I stay, I'm going to die, I'm going to be bankrupt and dead. Or I get out of here. One of the two has to happen. But she didn't want me to leave, you know. But you could see through this thing that this verse, like, you try to enjoy and you suffered, and someone else is taking advantage of your suffering to exploit you. I was thinking, let me never be like that as a devotee. You know, it's very dangerous, a Sankirtan devotee. Take this book, you know, get some donation from someone. We have to be unfruitive in what we do. Just do it for the right motive. Because I was thinking, how could a doctor do this, you know? And then I got out of the hospital, I met a nice devotee doctor. He said, yeah, one of the antibiotics he gave you didn't even work. And the other one's just about helping you to get better. And then he gave me the right antibiotics. He says, in 4 days you'll be well. Don't worry. So, sure enough, I took his prescription. He's a good doctor. And surely, fever started, everything stopped. But here you can see, yeah, a little tiny bit of enjoyment, a little sugarcane juice, but how much suffering was created because trying to enjoy, you know. I don't know if you know, I offered it in my mind to Krishna, but still, you know, it was the wrong place to take sugarcane juice on the street. Flies come onto, you know, using dodgy water sometimes. Yeah. So our intelligence gets bewildered, we forget, and then we suffer. But this verse is encouraging the opposite. We should actually try very hard to serve Krishna. If you look at the end of the verse, I didn't even get to any of the things I prepared, but anyway. Let's just read. One or two other things before we go. We'll have to stop soon. Here's something very nice I just read. So Prabhupada, he's quoting that the problem is that we don't actually have, discussing about the problem that we don't actually have faith to fully absorb ourselves in devotional service. So there's a verse, Ashwadadana Purishasya, yeah? Bhagavad Gita 9:3. It goes, those who are not faithful in devotional service cannot attain me or conquer of the enemies. Therefore, they return to the path of birth and death in this material world. So we'll end on this particular point here. We'll just discuss it. So he goes here, the faithless cannot accomplish this process of devotional service. That is the purport of this verse. Faith is created by association with devotees. So a key thing, if we're in association with good devotees, we'll always be protected. So it behooves us to always hanker for good association. Yeah. Unfortunately, people, even after hearing all the evidence of the Vedic literature from great personalities, still have no faith in God. they hesitate and cannot stay fixed in devotional service of the Lord. This faith is a most important factor for progress in Krishna consciousness. So the other point is that when someone is going to the forest, it's time that they focus, really going to the holy Dham, or to focus on that part of your life, that Vanaprastha stage, is to associate with sadhus, with saintly people, and hear from them, render service to them, inquire submissively for them, from them, so they can teach you actually how to become detached from this material world. So it's very, very important for us to cultivate that strong faith that only by Krishna conscious I'll be happy. Only by serving Krishna that I can actually be happy. So then Srila Prabhupada gives a very nice definition of faith. He goes, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that faith is the complete conviction that simply by serving the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, one can achieve all perfection. That is called real faith. And then Srila Prabhupada gives this very nice analogy. By giving water to the root of a tree, one satisfies its branches, twigs and leaves. And by supplying food to the stomach, one satisfies all the senses of the body. Similarly, by engaging in the transcendental service of the Supreme Lord, one automatically satisfies all the demigods and all the living entities. So we have to come to that point of understanding that one-pointed service to Krishna is going to make us happy. And then Prabhupada now very nicely goes, therefore, after reading Bhagavad Gita, one should promptly come to the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. One should give up all other engagements and adopt the service of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the Personality of Godhead. If one is convinced of this philosophy of life, that is faith. So I'll just tell one story before we stop. There was many more things to discuss, but, you know. My wife told me, you know, just make sure you finish on time. I was actually on this last point that, you know, reading the books and how much faith you can get. I was in Stevenage last week, distributing books, and as I was distributing to someone, one boy comes up to me. He had a Gita in his hand. He goes, "I'm reading this Gita. It's really, really good." I said, "Oh, really? That's really good." So I think he looked young. I said, "How old are you?" He says, "I'm 19 years old." I said, "19." I said, "Oh, how much of this Gita have you read?" He says, "Well," he had a little kind of piece of paper he'd earmarked, "I'm 3/4 of the way through." I said, "Really?" I thought, "Wow, 19 years old, 3/4 of the way through." He goes, "I really like this book. I like the concept of karma yoga. That's action in Krishna consciousness, you know? It's like real renunciation." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Krishna, he's everything is his energy. So if you use it in his service, that's real renunciation." He goes, "Yeah, that's really far out, you know?" I said, "Have you always..." I was just trying to understand his consciousness. He said, "Have you always been like this?" He goes, "No, I was an atheist," he said. I said, "Really, you were an atheist?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "I was an atheist, but I kind of always liked philosophy." He said, "But when I was reading this book, the author of this book," because he's a young person, he goes, "he's undefeatable." Srila Prabhupada. "The author of this book is undefeatable, so I decided that I should become a servant of God." He's only 3/4 of the way through, you know. So we can see, perhaps from his previous life, he had some sukriti, and he's understand. I remember when I read the Gita the first time, I was having problem. I'm still having problem pronouncing the words, but I was, you know, reading Dhritarashtra, you know, and he's like, you know, who is he actually? You know, he's the father of, you know, like, so, but he was like, he says, "I'm really," and he says, "and as well as that, I chant that Maha Mantra now." So we took his address and gave it to the boys that are following up. You know, I think it was Conrad or something. But, so here you can see that he's read the book. And because it's such a powerful book by Senapati Bhakta, the person that's come to spread Krishna consciousness throughout this, through every town and village, it changed his heart. And now he's, yeah, I said, would you like to come to the temple? Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to, do that, you know. So you can see that, that Krishna is making arrangements, and we have to develop faith in these books and associate with sadhus to help us understand these books. And then spread that teaching to others. I got one more point and then I'll stop because I know I shouldn't, but it's so sweet when I read it, I couldn't help but share it with you. Let me see if I can find it now. I'll do that again. Right. Okay, so let's get to the. Here we have. We'll just read this last bit from this famous verse that's always read. One little point before we get there. This importance of association. Now he's saying it should be understood. This is from Prabhupada's purports. I can give you the reference if you want afterwards. That a Madhyamadikari, a second class devotee, is fully convinced of Krishna consciousness, but cannot support his conviction with Shastric references. A neophyte may fall down by association with non-devotees because he is not firmly convinced and strongly situated. The second class devotee, even though, this is all about importance of association, the second class devotee, even though he cannot support his position with Shastric reference, can gradually become first class devotee by studying the Shastras and associating with a first class devotee. However, if a second class devotee does not advance himself by associating with a first class devotee, he makes no progress. There is no possibility that a first class devotee will fall down, even though he may mix with non-devotees to preach. Conviction and faith gradually increase to make one an Uttamadhikari, a first class devotee. So the point again that we should always hanker for good association of Madhyams and Uttams. This is being stressed here. So then we come to the very sweet thing that I read. So this verse we always hear, Anya Ablasita Sunyam Jnana Kamani Anavritam. So I'm quoting from C.C. Madhya 167, the purport. It's so sweet. We see what Prabhupada says. He goes, this verse is also found by Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he says. And as we can understand from Bhagavad Gita 9.34 and 8.65, the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants everyone to think of him always, manmana bhava mad bhakto. Everyone should become his devotee, not the devotee of a demigod. That's what's being stressed today. Everyone should engage in his devotional service, including archan, deity worship in the temple. Then he goes, manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji man maskara. Everyone should offer obeisances from moment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These are the desires of the Supreme Lord, and one who fulfills his desires favorably is actually a pure devotee. Now listen to this. This is a bit that was really sweet for me. He goes, Krishna wants everyone to surrender unto him. Now Prabhupada's definition now. And devotional service means preaching this gospel all over the world. So, as members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, we want to please Srila Prabhupada. In whichever capacity we have, in whatever service we have, we should carry a preaching spirit that we want people to come to Krishna consciousness, that we want the other devotees to stay in Krishna consciousness. So he goes, devotional service means preaching this gospel all over the world. The Lord says openly in Bhagavad Gita 18.69, Nacha tasman manusyasu kaschin me priya krittama. One who preaches the gospel of Bhagavad Gita for the benefit of all is most dear to Krishna. So we may not be a big, big preacher, but we can help as peons, assisting those that are very qualified in distributing Krishna consciousness. It's very, very important for us to become satisfied and lose a taste for the temporary flickering things of this world. Then he goes on, the Bhagavad Gita is spoken by the Lord so human society can be perfectly organized from all angles of vision, political, social, economical, philosophical, and religiously. From any point of view, human society can be reformed by the Krishna conscious movement. Therefore, one who spreads this philosophy of Krishna consciousness for the benefit of all conditioned souls in the universe is perfect in devotion, in pure devotional service. So here's another nice part there now. The criterion is that a devotee must know what Krishna wants him to do. So this is the key of this whole thing. This understanding can be achieved through the medium of a spiritual master who is a bona fide representative of Krishna. And then he goes, Srila Rupa Goswami advises, Adu Guru Ashrayam. One who is serious in wanting to render pure devotional service to the Lord must take shelter of a spiritual master who comes in disciplic succession from Krishna. Evam Parampara Paptam Imam Rajaso Vidu. Then he goes, without accepting a bona fide spiritual master coming in disciplic succession, one cannot find out the real purpose of devotional service. So again, it's so important that by pleasing the spiritual master, he understands what Krishna wants us to do, then we can actually gain Krishna's favor. So you have to pray for me, I'm still not initiated. Therefore, one has to accept the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and agree to be directed by him. Then, very nice again, the first business of a pure devotee is to satisfy his spiritual master. So if we want to become pure devotees, the service of satisfying the spiritual master is a key. Satisfying the spiritual master, whose only business is to spread Krishna consciousness. So this is a legacy that everywhere in Prabhupada's purports, he's giving us a system whereby we can be engaged and out of trouble and develop a higher taste by taking part in propagating Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. And then he goes, and if one can satisfy the spiritual master, Krishna is automatically satisfied. Yasya prasada, bhagavat prasada. This is the success of devotional service. This is the meaning of the word anukulyena. This is the meaning of anukulyena. That is favorable devotional service to the Lord. So I'll stop there. We're a bit late. Can stop, or you can ask a question that's up, whatever is appropriate. I'm happy to stop. Srila Prabhupada ki.